8. Lioness. When Dior had plucked that dress from Genoa's wardrobe, I'm not sure what the hell she was thinking. Maybe she imagined we might find a moment's respite in some lordly chateau, or stumble across a quandary in which possession of a ball gown would prove essential to success. Maybe she thought Phoebe would look good wearing it, or perhaps she simply wondered what she'd look like climbing out of it. But whatever was going through the girl's mind when she chose that outfit, I'm reasonably sure she never imagined the Dusk Dancer would find herself fighting for my life in it. Gabriel took a long gulp of wine, shrugging to himself. But here we were. She'd split the skirts to her hips, allowing her to move swifter, quieter. And move she did, silent as a wraith, right at Robin. The young blood was no slouch. He'd been trained by the man who trained me, after all. But as he snapped off a hasty shot, I lashed out a kick at his knees, knocking him off kilter. And then Phoebe was on him, splitting his guts with one swipe of her claws. Thibaut screamed as Robin collapsed, his cry cut short as I reared up and wrapped my manacles around his throat. He stumbled, we fell, the big man grunting as I cracked his head over and over on the stones around the fire pit. Shouts of alarm rang in the dark. Robin tried to raise his sword, one hand holding his ruptured innards. And Phoebe leapt astride him, knees pinning his shoulders, pressing sharp thumbs to his eyes. "Don't!" I shouted. The Dusk Dancer glowered at me, hands dripping red. I'd already rolled Thibaut onto his back, the big man groaning as I snatched the keys from his belt. "Don't kill him, Phoebe."
"Are you mad? He tried to..."
"Leave him be. Grab the horses." She snarled as a shout rang in the dark, footsteps approaching. "I know you enjoy it when my kind beg, mademoiselle," I pleaded. "But we've not the time to do it proper. Just trust me, eh? This boy doesn't deserve to die." More shouts rang out in the woods, flickering torches heading back toward us. My wrists were unlocked now, and I was working on the shackles at my ankles as Phoebe tore away Robin's bandolier and hurled it into the gloom, rising swift to her feet.
"Friend to Dusk Dancers and Cold Bloods,"
Robin coughed blood, guts steaming in the bitter chill.
"You're every bit the traitor they named you, De Leon."
"Were that true, Youngblood," I said, "I'd be kissing you goodbye, not goodnight." I swung my shackles into Robin's head, knocking him senseless. Giving the boy another for good measure, I dragged off his boots, snatched up my bandolier and supplies. Looking around the flames, I realized with sinking heart that Xavier had carried Ashdrinker off with him. There was no way to get her back without taking him on. But Phoebe was at the horses now, astride Valia's mare and hissing through bloody teeth.
"Move your ass!"
I grabbed Robin's greatsword instead, hobbled across the clearing toward Argent. If I'd less heart and more brains, I'd have slaughtered the other horses to hamper their pursuit. But it takes a special sort of cunt to kill helpless beasts, historian. And while I'm certainly a cunt, apparently I'm just not that special at it. Smacking their backsides, I shouted to scatter them instead. Climbing onto Argent's back, I looked the Dusk Dancer over, dipped in emerald and drenched in red, eyes of molten gold. "You took your damn time," she glowered at me, incredulous.
"I think the words you're look..."
"Merci, mademoiselle," I tipped an imaginary hat, "for saving my sorry ass. Again." She scoffed, winding claws through her horse's mane. And then we were off, thundering into the deadwoods, my captors shouting behind. The night was black as pitch, chill as winter's heart, but Pale Blood and Dusk Dancer eyes still saw true in that gloom, steering our galloping mounts through snag and bramble, faster than mere men could run. The Inquisitor and her cohort wouldn't be able to pursue us afoot, but I knew better than most how far a silver saint would go to bring down his quarry, and we had three now at our backs. So we travelled till next dusk, finally coming to a breathless halt beside a tall, twisted oak. Its belly had been split by lightning decades past, a hollow carved of its heart. I lit a small fire within, and the pair of us huddled inside as night fell soft and deep around us. Listening for pursuit, I heard only the moaning wind. "I don't mind confessing, that was some artful mindfuckery, mademoiselle," I chuckled, shaking my head. "Even I was frightened to piss alone." "We do the same up in the Moon's Throne," Phoebe smiled. "Seeing off strangers who stray too close to our lands. We made a game of it when we were little."
"A game?"
"Aye," she nodded, firelight dancing in wild eyes. "We found a settlement at the foot of Ban Fiagal, when I was 8. Missionaries trying to bring their one faith to the pagans, eh? By the time we were done sporting with them, they thought their goats milked blood and a devil lived in their barn, whispering sins to their women at night." Phoebe laughed, feral and sharp. "They ran back to Dunfast with naught but the clothes on their backs."
"And that was sport," I scoffed.
"What kind of childhood did you have?"
Her smile faded then, her voice gone low and soft. "There's a custom among my people. When a child turns 12, they're given a seed by their eldest female relative. Oak or elm, pine or birch." Phoebe gestured to that tooled leather collar about her throat, and I noted a small brown pine seed, tight bound among the evernots.
"What's it for?" I asked. "Good fortune."
"You wear it into battle, so something might grow from the soil where you die." "You ask what kind of childhood I had?" Phoebe shrugged, meeting my eyes. "A short one, Silver Saint."
I chewed on that a moment, studying the scar cutting down her cheek. "How'd you find me, and why?"
I sighed.
"Why'd you come back?"
5 horses and 24 men are easy to track. As for the second..." She tilted her head, looking into the fire, and I realized silence was the only answer I'd get. It mattered not, I supposed. The fact she'd returned at all was the important one. It was strange to think a woman I'd been raised to see as an enemy had rescued me from men I'd always thought of as friends. That this monster had become my saviour. We settled into silence, wrestling quiet thoughts. The night was freezing, but our oaken shelter was warm, our fire burning near as bright as the memory of her in my bed. "About the other Eve," I began.
"Don't tie yourself in knots," she sighed. "And spare me the fucking torture. I was a fool, you were an ass. Let's leave it at that, eh?"
There was only a foot between us, but that foot felt 1,000 miles. Yet I took off my glove, careful of the silver on my skin, placing my hand over hers.
"You're not a fool, Phoebe Adunzea. You're a lioness."
She looked at me sidelong, there in our tiny circle of two. But though her eyes were hard as iron, her lips curled in a smile. I nodded to the ink where her troth ring should be.
"Who was your lion?"
Phoebe blinked at that, as if it were the last question she ever expected me to ask. She held her breath for 10 long beats of my heart before she finally replied.
"His name was Connor."
"How do you know him?"
Again, it took some time for her to answer. I recognised the reluctance, saw it ever in myself. When someone you love is taken from you, their memory is all you have left, and sharing that memory can make it somehow feel less yours, as if you're giving away a piece of it and a piece of the person you lost besides.
"I didn't know him at first," she finally sighed. "We met on our wedding night."
I raised a brow at that, but said nothing.
"I know you lowlanders spin tales that we steal the skins of men and beasts up in the Moon's Throne. I know you think us sorcerers and flesh witches, but the blessings of Fionn,
the gift to dance the dusk, it travels in the bloodline. The thing of it is, the gift never takes root in a child until the parent dies. Mother Moons and Father Earth keep the balance that way. My ma had the gift. She was Regan Moore of the Dunsair. Warmaker, aye? Hard as a coffin nail, that woman. Goddess, she could fight. Burn bright, she used to tell my sister and me. Burn brief, but burn. She led our clan to victory through 6 wars. The Dusk Dancer sighed. But she lost the 7th. Slain at the Battle of Loch Shior when I was 19. Angus Abaddon, the wolf who killed her. He still wears her skin as a trophy. Phoebe shook her head, tracing the lines of her scars with one claw. After Ma was killed, my baby sister, Tori, and me were both blessed with a gift. But the Baron was still pressing us hard. Dark things were rising in the Weald, and the leeches had begun raiding the Highlands. The shitstorm you caused when you slew Tully of Divock reached even so far as the Moon's Throne, Silver Boy. Impressive mess you made. I'd have thought tangling with dancers would be the last thing on their minds. Phoebe shrugged. The untamed scattered after their defeat at Crimson Glade, seeking shadows to lie low in. Then their eldest daughter came home. Lily? Phoebe nodded. She was a child of the Moon's Throne, centuries ago, though no clan will claim her as their own now. The Heartless, the All-Mothers named her. The Winter Wife. She was a spook story parents would tell their bairns at night. Do your chores, they'd say, or the Heartless'll get you. But after you slew Tolyev, she came back to lick her wounds, chewing at edges of the Weald, her and her children. Cain, the dragon, raiding us for meat. One more problem my clan couldn't afford after Ma died. Phoebe looked to the flames, her voice soft. Saoirse's Ma, my aunt Cinna. She's the old Sith of my family, the Peacebringer. She's a seer, a dreamwalker, the greatest healer in all the Highlands, ever seeking to mend what is broken. And to ensure our clan's future, she brokered a deal with others who'd warred with the Baron. I was to marry the eldest blessed son of Clan Lachlan, Tori, a blessed son of the Treon, and with their strength, we Dunsair would survive. I frowned, looking down at the hand I held, the ink on her finger. You were forced into it. That's not our way. Women choose in the Moon's Throne. Men are chosen. Phoebe shook her head, sighing. I war with my sister until... We warred with our kinfolk until... We war with the Highlands until... We war with the world. I shook my head, not understanding. It's an old song of ours. There's nothing that'll bring folk of the Moon's Throne together like a common foe. And while I loathed the thought of wedding a man I didn't even know, those blessed by Fionn are rare. My sister and I had value, and that value could buy a future for our family. So we swallowed our pride, and off to our bridal feasts we went. Phoebe scoffed, her eyes clouded and distant. I hated him at first, my Connor. He was older, arrogant. He'd spent years travelling beyond the Moon's Throne, even visited Augustin once. He knew poetry, philosophy, theology, made me feel like some backwards rustic. A Moon's damned know-it-all, that man. He travelled beyond the mountains. That's rare for your kin. Connor had greatness in his blood. A descendant of Ailey Stormbringer he was. The mightiest Regan Moore our kind has ever seen. Connor had a dream of uniting the clans one night, just as she'd done, but he wanted to know the world before he tried to rule it. I raised one brow. You were wed to royalty? Should I be calling you Highness, or... There is nae royalty in the Moon's Throne. Not since your lot slew the Stormbringer anyway.
But his pedigree didn't help with his cockiness, let me tell you.
Phoebe chuckled, eyes shining. He thought himself the goddess's gift, that man. And though he was as tempting as all nine sins, I didn't let him touch me for almost a year. She smiled, biting soft on her lip. But it's true what they say. War makes the strangest bedfellows. And fighting side by side with him, I came to see another side entire. He was brave, noble, merciful to foes and generous to friends. When Tori was slain by the Untamed, it felt like my whole world came apart. My baby sister was only 18 years old and Lily and her children tore her and her husband to pieces. But Connor held me together, kept me strong. And I found myself in love, head over heels like some green spring maid. Moons, I adored him.
What became of him? I murmured.
Phoebe breathed deep, eyes shining now. He died, ambushed by the wolves. The Veldfwill, they skinned him alive, the bastards. Him and all his guard, flayed and hanged from the pines.
Her lips curled in a snarl, tears spilling down her scarred cheek.
I should have been with him, but I was heavy with our daughter by then, and he bid me nay travel for fear of the danger.
You've a daughter, I whispered.
Aye.
Phoebe hung her head, pawing at her eyes.
I lost her. There wasn't room in me for her and all that grief. A woman can only carry so much.
I squeezed her hand, feeling an utter fool. Not the only one with scars.
That's why the mother moons make it snow, so hard up the highlands, they say, to cover all the blood. I came home to the Dunsear clanhold to grieve, to see if Aunt Cinna could heal my broken heart. And in the darkest of my hours, I had a dream, a star fallen in the east, voices old and sweet singing a song that burned in my mind like fire. Dead shall rise, and stars shall fall. Weald shall rot to ruin of all. Lions roar, and angels weep. Sinners' hands our secrets keep. Till godlings' heart bright hen's eye, from reddest blood comes bluest sky.
I sighed.
Always a poem, isn't there?
I thought I'd gone mad. But when I told Cousin Saoirse, she said she'd dreamed the same dream, the very same night. Long had my kin awaited the godling's birth. It was prophesied she'd be born of the clans, but it never occurred to us she might be found among lowlanders. I was still mourning, still bleeding. But Saoirse was convinced the godling would change everything. Aunt Sinner told me that in healing the world, I might just heal myself. And so I agreed to travel with my cousin, keep to the wheeled shape so I'd nae have to deal with fucking people. It was good to be with someone who thought this place might be saved, who could imagine those snows without blood.
Phoebe sighed, eyes lost in the flames.
And now, Saoirse is gone. Bled the ground red like my sister. Like my Connor.
I shook my head, mystified.
How can you still be out here if your goddesses put you both on this path and now your cousin's dead? How can you still believe?
Phoebe stared long into the fire, as if searching for truth in the flames.
I spent my time angry at heaven when Tori was killed, when the wolves butchered my Connor. When my sweet Catir was denied her first breath, I know what it is to spit your hate at skies above. But I also know there is nothing in that deed that does not make your anger worse. There's nae joy to be found in embracing rage that isn't fleeing. In the end, it only deepens the darkness within. And so it must, can only, be wrong.
She shrugged, meeting my eyes.
Hate is poison. Hope is salvation. And there's still some things in this world worth saving.
I frowned, looking down at the name tattooed across my fingers. I heard movement in the night beyond our firelight then. A little girl's laughter hanging faint upon the wind. The scent of Silverbell kissing the air and burning at the corners of my eyes. Do you miss him? Phoebe sighed.
A little less each day.
My eyes were fixed on two pale shadows now, watching at the edge of the light.
That's what frightens me most, you know, I murmured. The thought that grief is the only thing I have left of them. And once that fades, the last of them will too. The world feels half full without them. I miss them like a piece of me is missing. But I honestly don't know what hurts more, Phoebe. Holding on to them or letting them go.
You've no need to let them go. You just need something more to cling to.
I sighed, dragging my eyes from those wraiths who watched me up to skies above.
It matters not what you hold faith in, but you must hold faith in something.
Phoebe nodded.
That sounds like wisdom to me.
My friend Aaron told me that.
I shook my head. He's dead now.
She met my eyes, pity shining in that alloy of platinum and gold.
I looked down to our hands, the silver on my skin gleaming in the firelight between us. But though her fingers were razors to me and the ink on mine a poison to her, she carefully entwined them together. Her touch was like spring rain, gentle and slow and perilously warm. I wondered if she were right, if I did need something more to live for. Since the night I'd buried ma famille, I'd given no thought to the future. First, losing myself in the idea of revenge against Fabienne, and then of looking after Dior. Yet what might come if I somehow got all I wanted? The forever king in ashes? The grail redeeming the world? What of the day after? But beneath Phoebe's singing skin, I felt it then, silencing that foolish question in my head. Winding out in pale blue webs across her wrist, up her tattooed arm to the long, graceful line of her throat, thundering there like all heaven and hell awaiting, pulsing, pleading, needing. I tore my eyes away. The scent of Silverbell lingered on the wind, the sound of a little girl's voice calling me entwined now with the drumbeat of Phoebe's quickened pulse. But I turned aside from those phantoms of my past, that golden gaze, and I reached out into the freezing gulf for Dior, that slender thread of hope that was all I really had left to cling to. Sweet fucking mother maid. Phoebe looked up as I tore my hand from hers, snaking now to my feet.
Gabe, what is it?
Dior, I hissed.
Fear filled her eyes, despair flooding mine.
I can't feel her anymore.